On August 3rd, I took an early morning walk in Port Wing, Wisconsin with my dog Photon. The fog was so thick that I had to keep drying off my glasses, but despite the murkiness, it was still and pleasant. There's nowhere near the amount of singing in August as there is in May, but that just means that each song stands out better. Stepping out the door, I could hear the chink note of a rose-breasted grosbeak, a red-eyed vireo singing from the woods, a common yellowthroat singing from some thick hedges, a blue jay squawking in the distance, and a couple of sedge wrens in the nearby meadow. Earlier in the season, robins, purple finches, and dozens of other birds drown out quiet little sedge wrens, but this morning their tiny voices carried almost a quarter of a mile. I had my digital camera, and as Photon and I came closer to one wren, it occurred to me to try to get its picture. My camera takes video clips as well as still photos, so I tried to make a video, but the bird would not stay in view. I played the clip back to see if any of it was usable, and was startled to look up and see the wren a couple of feet from my face. His recorded voice coming out of the camera had aroused his curiosity or his territorial defense. Ironically, just last week I did a program about playing back bird songs and how rude it is, and here I was inadvertently doing exactly what I preached against. I quickly switched my camera back to the record mode, and though the wren retreated farther back, I still got a decent video clip of him singing and several good photos. On Kinney Valley Road, a cluster of chickadees flitted about along with a host of warblers. There were dozens of Nashville warblers and yellowthroats, along with a smattering of black and white warblers, magnolias, and redstarts. We've had a fairly mild summer without many major storms or insect pest invasions, and apparently the warblers had a successful nesting season because the vast majority that I saw were young ones. We found another chickadee flock at the Port Wing sewage ponds, and again they were joined by warblers, the same species I'd seen on Kinney Valley Road, and also some northern perulas, chestnut-sided, a red-eyed vireo, and a gorgeous golden-winged warbler. This is the tricky interlude between the breeding season and migration, when many birds gravitate toward chickadees. Of course, any time of year it's worthwhile paying attention to chickadees, perhaps the most endearing of all birds, but during migration it has added benefits. Flocks of waxwings were here and there making their soft lisping sounds that remind me of tiny mice snoring. A few perched on open branches, occasionally flying out to snatch insects, but mainly they just lazed about as befits a Sunday morning in August. There were a couple of broods of half-grown baby wood ducks in the sewage ponds, as well as a family of six Canada geese, the babies now almost as big as their parents. At Twin Falls, an ovenbird sang a single song, calling to mind Robert Frost's poem about this species singing in late summer. Photon sniffed at tansies, Queen Anne's lace, daisies, and hawkweed as I watched an indigo bunting singing in a dead shrub on the way back, an alder flycatcher providing accompaniment. Our little walk had yielded 44 species, little more than half of what we'd hoped to see in May, but quality made up for quantity. And we came back to my mother-in-law's to discover the biggest treat of all, at least a dozen hummingbirds all zipping about her two feeders, a sweet dessert after a satisfying morning. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.